Romans chapter number 5, we'll try our best to be obedient to the Lord and what He'd have for us in the service. And you can stand in reverence to the reading of the Scripture. Romans chapter number 5, and I'm interested in something that really has went along with the service thus far. Five times in Romans chapter 5, you'll find these two words, much more. Five times in Romans 5 and other places of Scripture, but you'll find the term much more. Let's start reading. Let's just start reading in verse 1 of chapter 5 of Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God means the war's over. I'm not fighting Him. I'm not an enemy no more. I've been saved. I've been justified. Now I have peace with God. How did that happen? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. That's that experiential knowledge I was talking about a while ago. Patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Come on now, verse 9, much more. Hey, son, I feel a witness on that. If verse 1 through 8 that wasn't enough, God says, let me just throw a little much more in here on you. If you think that was something, you think that was big and that was essential, let me take you to another level. Much more then, being now justified by faith, by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, come on now. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Skip down, if you would, to verse 15. But not only as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one, much more then, which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I say glory to the reading of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your precious Word. We pray, dear Lord, that You will help us in these moments together to say what needs to be said. I pray You'll direct my thoughts and my mind. Help me to be attentive, God, to the leadership and the discernment of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, because You know what's needed in this service this morning more than I do, and I pray You will help me to be in tune, Lord, with You. I pray You'll forgive me and cleanse me, God, of every sin, everything that would be a hindrance to the Holy Ghost. I pray You'll get the glory this morning. I pray You'll be magnified here in the house of God. Lord, we're not interested here at RBT of just going through a little ritual and going through a little rut, a program. We're interested, God, in meeting with you. And Lord, you speaking to us and challenging us and convicting us of our sin and bringing us greater into a conformity of Christ on a daily basis. I pray now that your will to be done, and we'll give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing with us once again. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20. Moreover, the law entered that, verse 20 said, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, we'll get into that verse later, but we'll just start where I feel like the Lord would have us to. The word much more in its usage always brings in and shows a superiority or shows a comparison. When you say much more, there is a comparison between two objects, between two things of consideration. Much more. Well, verse 20 would be a good text verse to prove that, where sin abounded. Grace did much more abound. And so you see there, it denotes a comparison. It's showing that the much more is a bigger and greater in quality than what it's being compared to. In other words, you could put in Tennessee terms, much more means you ain't seen nothing yet. If you like that, wait till you see this. That's kind of what the mentality is behind that. It gets bigger and it gets greater the further that it goes. But with that in mind, I want us to turn back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 31, and we'll find the first place that I believe the Lord would have us to look at concerning the much more. I want to call this, number one, I want to call this the much more of sin and sinfulness. The much more. See, God is not the only one that has the much more life that he promises. The devil also has the much more offers to you. And that really he has to do to keep you interested in sin. Did you know that if sin was just one level? Did you know if sin was just one little experience, one little category? That the devil knows that you'd become bored with it. He knows if it was just one pill and just one little taste of alcohol or, amen, one little experiment with immorality, and that's all there was to it. He knows that there would be a boredom set in and that you would turn your back on it. So he keeps offering up the much more of sin, the much more of sinfulness. Man, I feel a witness of God this morning. Hallelujah. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, and let me say what's happening in Deuteronomy 31. Here I've told you to turn, and I'm not even turning. Deuteronomy 31, what's taking place is Moses is giving them the final words before he is to be taken away from them, because God told him because of his disobedience that he couldn't go into the land of Canaan. He could see it, but he couldn't go in. And of course, Canaan's not heaven, all right? You're going to have some Bible problems, theological problems, if you put Canaan as heaven. It's not heaven, amen? There's not battles in heaven. There's not giants. There's not a bunch of unbelievingites in heaven, amen? That's right. I don't have to get there. When I get there, drive them out so I can have it. No, no. This is spirit-filled life. There's a battle associated with the spirit-filled life. But anyway, Moses is giving, God is talking to Moses, giving him his last instructions, how Joshua is to take over and so forth. And look at chapter 32, chapter 31, verse 27. We'll just read the one verse for sake of time. Chapter number 31 and verse number 27. Well, let's read verse 26. We get, take this book of the law, put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know, listen, Moses is talking to these people now that he's been dealing with all these many years, leading them through the wilderness. He's heard their griping, their complaining, their murmuring. And here's what he says to them. Now, try to get a feel of how Moses must have felt giving his life to lead people, help people, preach to people, get them in, to know God. And look what he says in verse 27 to them. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. And now look at this. Here it comes. And how much more after my death. What about that? Verse 29. For I know that after my death, ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the works of your hands. You know what Moses said? Moses is letting them in on this truth that there is a much more in the area of sin and sinfulness. Moses is telling them, you've been rebellious while I've been alive. While I've been yet with you, you've been rebellious and stiff-necked. But he said, I want you to know that after I'm gone, you are going to corrupt yourselves and you're going to follow into the much more area of wickedness and sin. And let me say to all of us, I said that right. I want to say this to all of us. You better not play around with sin, because sin has an addictive aspect about it. Amen. Your flesh loves it. Your flesh loves sin. Amen. That's right. That's why it takes God to save a sinner. It's because they're loving the very lifestyle and choices that's keeping them away from God. If God didn't save us, none of us in here would ever have gotten saved. The natural man will do just like Adam did in the garden. He'll run from God. He'll hide from God. Don't want nothing to do with God. Amen. So if you're feeling a drawing this morning, if you're curious about salvation, if you're interested in salvation this morning, I want you to know God has done that. God's the one that's putting that in your mind. God's putting that in your heart. Amen. You don't just wake up one morning and start thinking, you know what? I need to get saved. No. A lost man will go to hell with a smile on his face. He'll never be interested in God. Oh, my goodness. Whoa. Oh, there is the much more level of sin that the devil offers his followers. Amen. No doubt. And we need to be leery of that. Need to be weary of that. Can I say the path of sin? You've heard me say this. The path of sin is never level. It's not uphill. You don't get better. You don't improve. The path of sin is not uphill to a better life and a better you. The path of sin is not level to where it's just, you don't get any worse. No, the path of sin is downhill. The further you proceed with it, the further you go with it. My friend, the worse you're going to become, amen, the more of a control that sin and the devil will have in your life. Let me say something to you young kids. Thank God for those that's been saved. The three that got saved last night, all of them were young kids. Thank God for that. And we've got some others, amen, that's got it on their mind. They're asking their parents questions. They're already, listen, hey, amen. Thank God. Keep praying, amen. Boy, I want to tell you though, ladies and gentlemen, listen, God needs to help us this morning. Amen. Listen, young people, kids, listen, who do you think is behind rebellion? Who do you think is behind rebellion? You young people think it's all right to back talk and sass your mom and daddy when your mama says pick up your clothes or take out the trash or sweep off the porch and amen, or turn the lights out and quit playing the video games, amen, whatever they're telling you to do, and you get the old back talking, sassy, rebellious, smart mouth against them. You know who's behind that? It is certainly not God. You think, well, I'm just being a brat. Well, that's exactly what it is. But I want to tell you who's in the brat business. I'll tell you who's in the brat employment. It's the devil himself. Amen, that's right. You say, you got scripture? You got time? This, God just give me this right now. What about Ephesians chapter 2? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Talking about before you got saved, you were dead in trespasses and sin. But then he comes into verse 2 and he said, in times past, you walked according to the course of this world. Times past, talking about before you got saved. In times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air. Listen, how do we know where he's at? What he's up to? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. If you want to look for the footprints of the devil, show me a rebellious, disobedient child, and I'll show you one that's got the fingerprints of the devil on their life. Do you think the devil wants to start after you're 30 or 40? To pull you in his direction? No. Listen, Mom, Dad, he wants to start while they're in diapers. He wants to start while they're in the high chair. Amen. He wants to start while they're in the bassinet. He wants to start in their life and start to influence them. And he influences them with music. He influences them through media. A young person they're not born in this world with a knowledge of how to backtalk a mama and a daddy and be rebellious. They don't come in this world with that knowledge. They come in this world with that capability. They come in this world with that potential, but they don't have that knowledge. They get that knowledge from this world. They get that knowledge from association, running around with other kids. Listen, you know what? A surefire sign to turn your child into a brat is to let them run around with brats. If you don't want them to have fleas, don't let them lay around with the dogs. Amen right there. Yeah, I had one. I'm not going to get too plain because this has been recorded. But I had one this past week talking about their children. I'm talking about grown children, up in years. I had one 2 years ago, 50-something years old, a son died. And he's talking about the drug addictions and all that's involved in their children's life. One of them was a millionaire and went from a millionaire now to having nothing, is on nothing, have nothing, amen? And drugs is behind that. And I wanted to say, boy, did you take them to the house of God? Did you reprimand them? Did you try to watch and screen who they associated themselves with? Listen, parents, I'm telling you, whether it's my child or your children, it does not matter. There is a much more experience of sin. It's never level. It always is declining in its direction. And it always has destruction as its destiny. Always. Don't take my word for it. You young people, you know more than Jesus, some of you. Don't take my word for it. Amen. Lay your cell phone down a little bit and get the Bible out. And start in Genesis and just go through the pages of God's word and see if you find any person or any family or any nation that sin blessed.
That's right.
But no, you'll find a trail of broken bones and pieces and shattered lives. Amen. And regret all through the word of God. And I know what some of you think. I know how young people think. Oh, I know, preacher, but I can handle it. I'm not going to go that far. Hey, what are you basing that on? Are you basing that on you? Preacher, I'm not going to go that far. No, I'm not what I'm supposed to be, but preacher, I'm not going to go that far. What are you basing that on? What's your restraint? What's your restriction? If you don't bring up something spiritual, if you don't bring up the Spirit of God as that that's working in your life to keep you away from the life of sin, then you have no restraint. Galatians chapter 5, what should we say then to these things? What should we say? And then he brings up this right here, this proposal. He brings up this proposal. He says this right here. Walk in the flesh. Or walk in the spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit. And the word lusteth there means warreth. The flesh warreth against the spirit, lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Against the flesh. Get that. Against the flesh. For these are contrary one to the other, that you cannot do the things that you would. The only restraint to a fleshly life and a wicked life and a sinful life is the inner working, and thank God, of God in your life. Oh, yes. Brother King said it Friday night. I've said it as well. Sin will take you. Brother J.R. said it last night. Sin will take you further than you ever planned to go. Keep you longer than you ever planned to stay. And cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. Preacher Rackley, under the leadership of the Holy Ghost, is making you aware this morning that there is a much more level of sin. Moses was saying to these people, you're bad now, and I'm still alive. You're bad now, but when I'm gone, you're going to go into the much more category of wickedness and sin and corruption. Isn't that something? They had Moses as their pastor. He spent 40 days on the mountain with God. He got a direct word from God. And yet the people had a heart and a life that was wicked. You know what that tells you? That tells you, no matter who your preacher is. You can have, listen, I'm not the best, but I tell you, I try to preach to you. I try to feed you. I try to challenge you. Amen. I try to do that. But I want to tell you, it don't matter if you had Preacher Rackley here, I'm talking about at RBT, or if you had Brother Sammy Allen here at RBT, or Brother Stennett Blue here at RBT, and I could name many more great, great men of God. Did you know what? If your heart is wicked, amen, you're not going to live right, no matter who your preacher is. And that right there saved me from the ulcer factory. Amen. I used to think that maybe I could change them. Maybe I could. No, I've seen different. I've seen that. Anyway, I've got to get on with it. Good night. Much more area and level of sin and sinfulness. Sin always escalates. It always increases. It always goes deeper. Sin will never let you just wait around in the shallows. Well, preacher, I'm not planning that to get over my head now. I've dealt with them. I've dealt with young people for years, and they'll tell me things like that. Oh, preacher, I'm not getting out in deep water. I know where my stopping point is. I know where my limitation is. But I'm just getting my feet wet a little bit. I'm just experimenting a little bit. Yep. That's where those that's living under bridges and under cardboard boxes started. That's where those, my friend, that's in crack houses started. That's where those that are in drug addiction and alcoholic addictions, that's where they all started. I'm not going to get out there and be a drunk preacher. I'm not going to be a full-blown alcoholic preacher. I'm not going to be a sorry somebody. I'm just going to be right here just to socialize. Next thing you know, you can't get enough. You're in over your head. And you can't even sleep at night. And you wish you'd listen to the preacher. You wish you'd listen to grandma. You wish you'd listen to those godly examples in your life, but you didn't listen because you thought, I know better. I can handle this. I'm myself, and nobody's going to tell me what to do, and nobody's going to tell me where to go and who to run around with and how long to stay. Nobody's going to do that. I'm my own person, preacher. Yeah, go ahead with that mentality, and you'll break your parents' heart. And you will, listen, you'll become a testimony. You'll become a testimony of the life that the devil has ravaged. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can't play around with fire without getting burnt. Come on now. I know you think I can handle it, preacher. No, you can't handle it. Solomon, the wisest man ever lived, he couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle it. He didn't handle it. He's the one that wrote it in Proverbs. Can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? He's the one that wrote that. You can't play around with the flesh. You can't play around with sin. It'll burn you. Why? Because it has that much more level. You might be playing around. Listen, I can't get off this yet. You might be playing around with it in your mind. You're just playing around with it in your mind. See, that's that private area nobody can see. They can't see your thought life. Amen. You can be right here in the house of God and have corrupt thoughts towards somebody else in this church. Wicked thoughts. Hey, are y'all listening? And that's happened. That has happened before. I mean, that's wicked. Amen. That's wicked right there. And I'm not going to go on the details of that. It's not important. It's many years ago. But you can't play around with sin in your mind. Everything you do, everything you are, every decision comes out of your mind. It's never an afterthought. You never do it and then think, oh, well, I can't. How did I do that? No, it's all preconceived. It's all right here. It'll never be in your morals till it's in your mind. It'll never be in your actions till it's in your thoughts and your attention. Amen? Where is he playing around with sin? And I said it a few weeks ago here at the church, you know, when we was going through that slump, that I really felt like we had sin in the camp. And that has been proven to be so. Hello? Hey, man, are y'all listening to Preacher Rackley? You know what I think? I think I'm probably not tight enough. I'm not preaching hard enough. But then I get to thinking, well, Moses, you can't preach no harder than Moses. Moses was a commandment preacher. Moses comes straight off of the mountain with his face glowing from being in the presence of God and tell the people what thus saith the Lord, and they didn't pay him a lick of attention. You could say they probably had a little preacher religion. As long as Moses was alive, they was at this level of sin. But Moses said, when I'm gone, when I'm off the scene, you're going to go into the much more category of corruption. How many could say that about, in spite of your parents, in spite of grandparents, in spite of the pastor preaching, your Sunday school teaching, in spite of being in the church you're in spite of all of that, some of you still ain't living for God. They had Moses. They still weren't living for God. Oh, they weren't in Egypt. Outwardly, they were not in Egypt, but inwardly they were. Yeah. Outwardly, they were blending in. Oh, yeah, Moses is our leader. This is the same bunch that crossed the Red Sea. This is the same bunch that had been feeding on manna. This is the same bunch that had drank water out of a rock. Are you listening? But Moses said, from a pastor's perspective, here's what Moses said, paraphrasing, what's breaking my heart is this. I've preached to you all these years. You've saw God do great and mighty things, opening the Red Sea, flying in the quail, rain down manna from heaven. You've seen God do great mighty things, supernatural things. But he said, it's not in your heart. He said, it's not in your heart. Oh my, listen. He said, you've been exposed to it, but you have not experienced it. If I'm far out in left field, and I know I'm not because God gave me this, if I'm out in left field on this, then you tell me why it is that 88%, and that came from the Barner Group poll that they did. I have it in the whole clip, and I mean it's pages big and letters that tall. 88% of young people in our evangelical churches, when they reach 18 years old, will leave and never come back. You know what that is? We're exposing them to it. We're exposing it to them, preacher, in our preaching, our Sunday school teaching. Man, I feel God. Hey, man, Lord. Hallelujah. We're exposing them to what's right through parental teaching and parental guidance, amen, and pastoral guidance. Amen, we're doing that. But what's missing, Brother Trav, they have the exposure but no experience. No experience. My goodness. Lord, help me. Oh, goodness. There's the much more level of sin that is addressed here in our passage in Deuteronomy 31. That statement reveals to us the nature of sin. It tells us what's associated not only with the nature of sin, but it shows us what is involved with the neglect of sin. You know what sin will do? Listen up. Listen real close. You know what sin will do? Sin will cause you to reject preaching. Moses had preached to them all these years, and now Moses is getting ready to die. Moses is, his life is, his race is right now run, and he's fixing to step off the scene, and he's preaching to a crowd that said, "You didn't get it. I gave it, God gave it, but you didn't get it." He said, "You didn't get it." Sin's what will cause you to be bored with preaching. Sin will cause you to not want to hear preaching. Amen. That's right. I wonder even how, what, listen, I wonder even right now this morning, how many of us in here is really listening to the preaching of the Word of God? Did you know you can be looking at me, but your mind not? Your mind can be out elsewhere. Your mind can be eating. Your mind can be on a movie you watch. Your mind can be in a magazine you read. Your mind can be trying to figure out a complicated part of a video game. I mean, instead of hearing the preaching. I'm in my 24th year. And I want to tell you right now, friend, I'm not going to live forever here. I am living forever, praise God, but not here. And wouldn't that be something? Me spend 30 years, whatever God wants, and then some of you still don't get it. Some still not get it. Thank God. Wait a minute. Hey, I'm not going to give the devil a time right here to toot his horn. I want to thank God right here for those that did get it. I want to thank God for those that I have seen go come down the aisle. It's not all black and gloom and negative and, amen, rejection and leaving and all of that. Thank God there's been a few down through the years that have walked the aisles and have gotten saved by the grace of God. And some of you are right here today. You got it. There's evidence. You got it. Hallelujah. I don't have a whole lot of fruit, but I got some fruit. Amen. A lot of times I'll tell Brother Taylor, Brother Robert Taylor, he got saved right here. Actually, right under where the pulpit is now, or where this cross is now, because we extended that. It's right there. He got saved right there. And he got saved. His family got saved. He surrendered to preach, and he's pastoring over in Chucky, Grace Independent Baptist Church. And I tell him every once in a while, I'll tell him, I say, "Brother, thank you for being some fruit that remains." I draw strength from that. They've not all left. They've not all, Miss Debbie, you told me that one time. I get to focusing on that. They've not all left. Hey, let me tell you, friend, listen, RBT don't run off of a one-man show. Amen. If something happened to me, and let me just say right here, something could happen to any of us. I tell you what, we have a good potential of right here, every one of us. We have a good potential of stepping away from God if we don't are not careful, have no confidence in the flesh. Amen. Listen, we have the potential. I have the potential. There's been greater men than me that has wobbled on the shaft and hit the ditch of ruin in their life. And I want to know that I can do that as well. And you can do that as well. Amen. Your spirituality is not guaranteed. Amen. It's the grace of God that some of us wasn't on a bar stool last night in some gyp joint. Amen. It's the grace of God. Amen. That I'm here this morning. Hallelujah. The Bible in my hand. Preaching in a church that I love. Praise God. Oh, it's the grace of God. Amen. The devil would ruin all of us before this evening if we'd listen to him. If we'd follow his leadership, he would ruin us all this evening. Let me say something. I don't know why I'm preaching all this, but I'm preaching. Amen. I know it. You young boys, it says God's called you to preach. Listen, you've got a great advantage on me. I didn't start till I was 20. You've done started out. But guess what? You've got your whole life that the devil's going to be making an attempt to ruin your ministry. Are you listening? He's going to try to lure you in. Listen. Like, for instance, some of you is already hitting your teenage years. Some of you are not there. I'm talking about these young preachers in here. Brother Ben, you're what, 11, 12, 13? 14, Lord have mercy. He's 14 in a seven-year-old body, amen. That's all I know. That's him over there. He's hid behind a songbook, amen. God's call to preach is on their life as it's on my life. And some things you can trip up and slip and mess up, and you can get right with God and you can rebound and you can fix. You go through those qualifications in Timothy. All of them's fixable. All of them's fixable. If I get messed up with my money, let my wife spend it all, that's fixable. I don't know how, but it's fixable. You can get messed up. Listen, you can get messed up in a lot of areas down through those, listen, through those qualifications. But if you get messed up, Brother Ben, Brother Blake, and Brother Samuel, and all you young preachers, listen, you get messed up in your marriage, you're done. D-O-N-E, done. You know why? You can't fix that one. The money you can fix, even the moral you can fix, over time you can rave it, but that marriage thing, that's permanent. That's the only one you can't fix if you mess it up. Amen. Parents, y'all don't care for me to preach these young preachers a minute, do you? See, I know you're young right now, and you're on the younger, the lower end of the age scale. But when you get in your teenage years, and you're up in the 14, 16, 18 years, if you're not careful, all of a sudden your ministry is not important as, whoo, look at that one walking across the yonder. And you'll get, listen, come on now, I'm preaching plain. Your hormones will get to cutting flips, amen, in your heart and your life. Next thing you know, preaching, and then you'll be controlled with passion, and you'll start running after flesh. But you better mark her down. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. You blow your ministry, you'll live your whole life with an itch that you can't scratch. Amen, that's right. Oh, yes. Thank God. Amen. That's right. Amen. God, I don't know how I got on that. That's good. Amen. You can't play around with fire. Don't get burnt. You can't, listen, you can't trust your flesh. Oh, yeah, preacher, I can handle it. No, you can't handle it. You'd be the first one since Adam and Eve that could handle it. If anybody could have handled it, Adam and Eve could have handled it. There was nobody to lust after. There was nobody to commit a fornication with. Nobody to commit adultery with. There was no pornography on the scene. There was no alcohol to drink. There was no movie theater to go to. Nothing. And only had one commandment to keep and couldn't even do that. You can't trust your flesh. Even in a state of innocence as they were, even in paradise as they were, you can't trust your flesh. Your flesh, as Adam showed and Eve showed, will fall even in a paradise environment. Are y'all listening? You know why? Because you have a nature in you that will go against God. Well, I wasn't planning on getting hung up on that. I was really wanting to move on, at least get one more, but I can't. I want that to soak in about the progressive course of sin. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper. How many can look at your life or know people that can look at their lives right now to prove this progressive aspect of sin, the much more? How many of you in this building, I know some, I could name some, you could probably name some. They can look at their lives right now and say, how did I get here? How did I get here this quick? They turn around and look back over the course of their life and they think, I remember when I used to sing in the choir or teach a Sunday school class. I remember being excited about the things of God. But now I turn around and look and that seems to be so far back in my past. How did I get in this life? How did I get where I'm at today? One step, one choice, one thought. That's where it all starts. You don't go from a church pew being out overnight. No, it had to start here, and it had to start here. And that secret sin, private sin, mental sin, personal sin that nobody knows. Don't ever forget this verse of Scripture. Be sure your sin will find you out. Amen. You be a habitual liar, it'll come out on you that you've lied. And when, amen. You listen, oh yeah, that's the nature of sin. That much more, that is that habitual lifestyle. Amen. One of the worst things that happened to you is that your sin become a habit. It's a lot harder to break one than it ever is to make one. It all starts with just one little step. I know the straight and narrow is here, but I'm going to sidestep right here. And then, oh, I'm going to sit over here, and I'm going to look at this, and I'm going to have that, and I'm going to try this. And the next thing you know, that straight and narrow that you once were on is way over yonder.
That's
right. Some of you better get a hold of this. I didn't intend for the message to be all on that one point this morning. I wanted to go to the next one about the much more of salvation. Thank God, I'm glad that's true. But listen, your spirituality is your own business. Amen. I can see decline. I can see, I even point that out to some, and they just go right on. You know why these people right here, Moses said, you're going to be in a much more corruption, a much more life of sin? You know basically what it was? You didn't listen to preaching, and you didn't apply it to your heart. Let me close with this right here. I thought about this just now. Acts chapter 27. You know that shipwreck chapter where they ran the ship aground and they hit bottom and it was all that? Back up a few verses. Back up several verses and you'll find out where it all started was the man of God stood up and said to that crew and to all those people on board that ship, I perceive that this voyage is going to be with much hurt and damage. In other words, he's saying, God, don't go. We're not supposed to sail. Listen to the man of God. We're not supposed to sail. But you know what they did? The shipmaster, the crewmaster, the captain, they said, oh, no, this is good sailing weather. And not listen to God's man. Not listen to the word of God when God says, don't. Oh, I know better, preacher. And then look how it unfolded. Started out with a man of God. Paul the apostle said, you thought everybody would listen to him. Paul said, no, don't. We're not supposed to sail. This thing's going to be with much hurt and much damage. But they sailed anyway. How many people's like that? You've heard preaching. You've heard preaching about sin. And sad, though. It is really sad. Used to, you could go about any church and hear preaching on sin. Amen. You could about hear it, but not now. Not now. You could turn on and you could watch a dozen television preachers and they ain't hardly have one of them ever mention anything about sin. That's right. I don't care to call his name. I watched it. You probably saw it. He was interviewed right on national television. Joel Osteen was asked point blank about homosexuality being sin. Do you ever preach against sin? And here's what he said. God didn't call me to preach against sin. I promise you this, and I don't care if it's a Baptist or who it is, a person to make a statement like that is not called at all. Why would God call anybody to preach? How could you preach the cross without preaching the curse of the cross? And the curse of the tree is sin. How could you even preach about the gospel and completely do away with sin? That's the whole reason Jesus Christ came down here. He became sin for us. No, that's a full-blown liberal is what that is. That is a hireling that is in for the padding of the pocket and packing out the pews in the coliseums and with the multitudes. Amen. But I purpose by the grace of God, we may not have the mega church, we may not have the multitudes, but by the grace of God, Preacher Rackley is not going to cater to that lie and to that what people want. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do that. Ain't no way. I couldn't live with myself. I couldn't pillow my head at night to think that I'd compromise and rolled over and looked the other way. That don't mean you have to be mean-spirited and hateful and all that. No, but you preach it. Moses preached the Word of God. Amen. And by the way, let me just say this, and I'm done. When you hear preaching, you are accountable. I'm talking about if it's out of this book now. That's why I tell you to bring your Bible, your King James Bible. If you got something else, leave it at the house.
Amen.
Amen. Feed it to the hogs. I don't care. That's right. You should preach. I wouldn't have said that, but I did.
Right. Amen.
I am very confident. Amen. And it's a proven fact. This right here in my hand is the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen. I appreciate Nolan. Raise your hand, Nolan. How old are you, Nolan? 11 years old. She already took a bold stand. When was that she was telling me about last night? That was this week? About the Bible? What about that? 11 years old, took a bold stand to his teacher about her usage and a test that they had of using the NIV. Confronted her, went up to her, 11 years old. And he said, "Preach, it made me mad." I said, "Oh, you mean to tell me you got a little righteous indignation? Hey, where's that at, Mom? Hey, where's that at? You watch all this filth and garbage and stuff, it don't make you mad. Hear people take God's name in vain, it don't make you mad. Brother Nolan said, it made me mad, preacher." And he went up and talked to her about it. Because he said, you had your Bible with you, I believe, didn't you? Say that a little bit louder. 11 years old, going to a public school, had his King James Bible with him. That's how he knew the NIV wasn't right. He pulled it out, laid it on the table, on his desk, and compared it to that was in the test, and said, "Oh, this ain't right." Yeah, where's your righteous indignation? When's the last time? I'm going to use a good Hawkins County word. When's the last time you got fuzzed up over sin? But I promise you this, amen. Woo! If you're not fuzzed up over your sin, you won't be bothered about nobody else's. And after all, I mean, why would you be upset about the NIV when you don't even read the KJV? Bring your Bible to church, and I pride myself on that, getting a passage of Scripture, and I mean expound that Scripture. I like preaching exposition. I like preaching that. Get in a passage, dig it out, or a thought, or a subject, or a doctrine, and just dig it out. Just squeeze all the juice out of it. Bring your Bible to church, because that way you'll know I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
Amen. You'll know. Listen, the Word of God has power. The Word of God has power. God's working in some people in our church. Some of you probably didn't even know that about Brother Nolan. He getting fired up. 11 years old, he getting stirred up. Amen. He went to, got his family to go to McQuaidy, Kentucky. Boy, they were hurt now for sure. They weren't now for saying they're right, Sister Michelle. Amen. I guarantee you, everybody needs to go up there before you go to heaven. That'll get you a little practice. That'll get you a little heavenly practice. Amen right there. But I want our church to be where we don't have to drive 6 hours to get into something like that. I want it to be right here. Amen. Same God's right here. But Moses said, "I preached to you all these years." I mean, a direct word from God. I mean, God wrote it down for him. All 10 points. Wrote it down. Carved it out on stone. Said, "Here, take that down there and let them have it." And they still didn't get it. As soon as Moses was gone, they went to the dogs. Yeah. God help us. You can be exposed to it, but are you experiencing it? There's the much more sin. How many? I can't tell you the times, Brother Ivan, since I've been up here even, in 24 years of being up here, how many times I've had people tell me, "Preacher, I wish I'd listened to you. I wish I'd listened to you."
That's right.
Oh, I don't know how many times, Brother Bill, I've had adults come to me after a service and say, "Preacher, I wish I'd had a preacher, somebody. I wish I had somebody that would have preached like that to me when I was growing up, when I was little, when I was young. I wish I'd had a preacher preach to me, expose the wickedness and poison of sin. I wish I'd had somebody to preach to me when I was young. I probably wouldn't have blown my life. I probably wouldn't have went the direction I went in. I probably wouldn't have the record I have. I probably wouldn't have the offenses against me that I have, but I didn't have that. Amen. That's why I preach a lot of these young people. Amen. Because I want them to escape all these scars and misery. I want them to know that serving God needs to start at, I mean, as early as possible. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. And I pray you'd help us, Lord, to know that we cannot trust the flesh. And God, help us to know, Lord, that there's still that progressive, declining direction of sin. Lord, even James said that when sin is finished, when it starts out with just a mere interest and a curiosity and it ends up being a conception, and then that conception ends up producing death, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Showing that progression of sin, that progression of sin. Lord, there's people in this church that's sitting right here today and others that may be listening through our media outreach. Lord, they're flirting around with the very thing that's going to kill them spiritually. God, they're flirting around. Young people in here. There's some young people in here that's in serious trouble with you, Lord. Being disobedient, rebellious. God, showing the fingerprints of the devil on their life. And God, we're going to try our best to preach against that as you give us leadership too. But I pray they'll get in an altar today and say, oh God, I don't want the devil to put his fingerprints on my life. I don't want the devil to drag me out into the spider web of sin. I don't want to become a captive to sin. I want to be saved. I want to live for God. At an early age, I want to go ahead and just run up the white flag of surrender and say, God, here I am. I surrender. I surrender to you, Lord. Lord, help us to hate sin. Lord, you said in the word of God, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Help us to hate sin in our own life. Help us to hate private sin. Help us to hate mental sin. Help us to hate it, Lord, in our own life, I pray. God, help us to have a love, a burning heart of love for righteousness and truth. Lord, I'm very concerned about some of this church. Lord, they show no signs of life. No signs of fruit, Lord, in their life. They just sit and look and watch and listen, but seemingly never grow, never advance, never progress. Seemingly no fruit bore in their life. Lord, I can't make the definite call as to whether they're saved or not, but I know there is a problem with that. Lord, I pray that whether it's young people or whether it's middle age, whether it's elderly people, Lord, it doesn't matter the age group. Sin doesn't look at a birth certificate, Lord. We know that before it begins to move and operate in our life. And it's no respecter of persons. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts. There's some people that need to get right with God this morning. Flirting around with sin, fooling around with sin, giving a presentation in their life of wickedness and sin. God, I pray you deal with them, Lord. Help me to preach. Preach with love. Speak the truth in love, the Bible said. Help me to do it, Lord. But I know it's with Moses. They heard the truth. They saw the supernatural. They saw the miraculous. But Moses said, Lord, after I'm gone, and you're the one that told him that, they were going to go into a much more level of corruption and a much more level of sin and wickedness. God, I pray you'd help us, Lord. Help people to respond today. Bring their old wicked flesh to the altar and say, God, I can't trust my flesh to lead me. I can't trust my flesh. What it wants, God's against. What the direction the flesh wants to go in, God is not in that. God, I pray you help us today. I've tried to preach your heart this morning, and I thank you for giving me liberty to do so.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.